Now we read in the scripture a few moments ago from Psalm 14 where the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But I saw something new on television recently. I couldn't believe what I saw. In New York, a bus was driving down the street. On the side of that bus with a great big sign, a group of young people were smiling, and they had four words, no God, no problem. Have you all seen that lately? I've seen it several times. No God, no problem. But I'm going to preach on that tonight. No God, but there is a problem. When the skeptics and agnostics and infidels say all that they can say, and this is what they say, there is no God, but there are three awesome problems. No God, no problem. No, there's three awesome problems which the skeptics, agnostics, infidels cannot ever answer, honestly deal with. Three plain facts. Three simple facts. Three impossible facts, impossible to ignore. I'm going to talk about them tonight, these three facts. The first one is this. This is the first major problem. Who is Jesus Christ? There is no God, then who is Jesus Christ? If Christianity is just an invention of men, as some people say, if Christianity is, as one atheist declared, an opium for the people, if Christianity is only a foolish desire for a heavenly paradise or happy hunting ground, how can you explain Jesus Christ? Tell me, how can you explain Jesus Christ? His existence in history, nobody can deny. He was on this earth. 2,000 years ago, He walked this earth. And time, even time, is designated by His birth. Did you know that? That's right. Talk about 200 years B.C. Who's B.C.? Before Christ. He was born. And after He was born, time was designated by 2009 A.D. What does A.D. mean? Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. So time itself, everybody that uses the time has got to deal with Jesus Christ. That's right. He was on this earth. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He walked this earth. He died on a Roman cross. And He rose again. And He appeared to His disciples. 500 brethren at once. And nobody ever recanted. Nobody ever denied the fact that He lives. Jesus Christ was called a carpenter. He worked in a carpenter shop. He was born in a manger. He worked in His Father's carpenter shop. His earthly Father, not the Lord God. And listen to this. Somebody said, without force or bribery, without military might or money, without position or possession, a man who lived in Israel, a hated nation, a despised people, slaves of Rome, and yet he left a mark on this world like nobody ever has before. That's true. There have been a whole lot of messiahs, but none like this one. There's been a whole lot of prophets and a whole lot of Muhammads and a whole lot of popes and a whole lot of reformers, but none like this man. Let me give you 12 characteristics and marks of this man. Listen to me. All other messiahs came to earth to live. He came to die. He said, "For this cause came I into the world." He came to die. All other messiahs leave monuments and memorials. Nobody can authentically find his birthplace or his death site or his grave. They go to over yonder to the Holy Land, but none of those things are real. They're put on. You can visit the graves of Muhammad, but not the grave of Christ. He arose. All other messiahs write books. They write proverbs. They write memoirs. He never wrote a book. But he wrote on the sand. And the wind blew it away. You can't find any book that he personally wrote. The disciples wrote them. The prophets wrote them. But he didn't. All other reformers, all other messiahs, choose their followers, their disciples, from the rich, from the powerful, from the popular. He chose us, the foolish things of the world. He chose the weak things of the world. He chose the base things of the world. He chose the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh can glory in His presence. Something else. Listen. All reformers and all messiahs and all prophets seek people whom they can help. He sought those whom He could help, who really needed help. All messiahs hold their disciples with fear, with rewards and threats. He turned to them and said, "Will you go away? Will you go away?" All preachers, reformers, messiahs, and Muhammads lived in mansions. The Son of Man has not where to lay his head. In 1968, I went to Spain to preach. And when I went to a little town called Tarragona, the man with me said, "You see that house right there? See that house that's been there 2,000 years? Pontius Pilate lived there. Got a sign, Pontius Pilate's home. Before he left Spain and went to Rome, try our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ never had a house. Had no place to lay his head." That's right. All reformers and all of these Muhammads and all these other people, they promised their followers titles. They promised their followers recognition. They promised them honors. But our Lord said, "He that would be great among you, let him be your servant." All reformers say, "Follow me, I'll show you the way." Our Lord said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." All reformers and prophets and Muhammads and messiahs, they say, "We are messengers sent of God." He didn't say that. He said, "I am God. I am God. I am God." All messiahs die and they stay dead. But He arose. The songwriter said, "He arose up from the grave. He arose a mighty victor over His foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. What do you think of this man? You got a problem. Everybody on this earth, they say, no God. Say what you want to, but don't say no problem. You got a problem. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8 just a moment. Proverbs chapter 8, and listen to what the Lord said about this problem. He said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. Proverbs 8, 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. Verse 34. Waiting at the post of my doors. Whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, he wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love death. That's a problem, isn't it? Not for me or you. I love him. You love him. I don't know what I could do to give him more glory and honor, but I sure like to do it because he is our Lord. Now here's the second problem. They say, no God, no problem. Well, you may say no God, but you got a problem. Here's the second problem. This book. The pastor does this quite often. And this book right here. This book. This problem which men cannot honestly deal with, and that's the Bible. It's the Word of God. This Bible, first of all, it was started by Moses or Job. I don't know which one, Paul, Moses or Job wrote first. But I know this, 3,500 years ago, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And this book was written by 40 men, 40 different men. 40 different men, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And the last entry was 2,000 years ago. Where are the books of men that even 500 years ago, 3,500 years ago, there were 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New. And these men now, 40 men, without consultation, they didn't know each other, many of them. Moses never did see Paul, never did know Paul. These men, without consultation and without collaboration, living decades apart. Most of them never saw or met one another, but this Bible presents one story. One story about one man. Moses wrote of me. And John on the Isle of Patmos gave the revelation of Jesus Christ. Job wrote, I know my Redeemer liveth. David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. Isaiah wrote, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him by his stripes. Whose stripes? Christ's stripes were healed. And Christ said this to his disciples. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all scripture the things concerning himself. That's what it's all about. Himself. And these men were not authors. They were not writers. They were not literary giants. They were shepherds. They were fishermen. They were men that God raised up and taught them the Word of God, taught them the Scripture. And this is what they said. That which we've heard and seen and bear witness and declare unto you and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And that's what we're writing about. That's what Brother Paul and I are preaching about. The same story. It never gets old. This book was written in Hebrew and Latin. Dead languages. Nobody speaks Hebrew. Nobody speaks Latin anymore. Long since dead, these languages are. But now, the Word of God is translated into hundreds of languages around the world. Do you know that on the last report of our website that Tom Harding sends out, 50 countries have downloaded my messages in English. 50 countries, 50 foreign countries have downloaded the message, the gospel. Because this book passes every test. It passes the test of time. Where are the books written 500 years ago? It passes the test of custom. People of all nations, that's what I'm talking about, all nations. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Hear men preach the gospel. Men learned and ignorant love the gospel. Men old and young, the little children, love the gospel. Men rich or poor, a lot of them love the gospel. Lawyers and laborers love the gospel. Black, white, red, yellow, Jew or Gentile, love this book. Not all of them, but some of them do. This Bible tells the truth about God. It's the only book that tells the absolute, unvarnished truth about God. No other book can make that claim, not even the ones I've written. I can't tell all the truth about God because I don't know all the truth. He does. And His Word tells the absolute truth about God. And His Word also tells the absolute truth about you and me. That's undeniable. It tells the truth about man. This book, the Word of God, it's so deep and yet, it's so simple. It really is when you believe it. When God's revealed it to you, it's simple. This book is so mysterious, yet it's so plain. Those things we read a moment ago, that's so plain. People say, I don't understand the Bible. You don't believe it. That's the reason you don't understand it. This Bible is a mystery to natural men. But this Bible is an open revelation to all who love it. Isaac Watts wrote this. Thy word, O God, is everlasting truth. How pure on every page. This holy book shall guide our youth and well support us in our old age. It's like the sun, the heavenly light, that guides us all the day and through the dangers of the night. This book is a lamp to light our way. Now the third problem. The skeptics and agnostics can't handle Jesus Christ. They use His name as a curse word, but they don't know Him. And this Bible, this is God's Word. It's a problem. No problem for me or you, is it? We believe it. No problem. And then the third is this. The third awesome problems which skeptics, agnostics, doubters can never honestly deal with it. You know what it is? It's the new birth. We sang about it a while ago, born from above. The new birth. God said, except a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. Except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It stays flesh. It'll never be anything but flesh. But that which is born of God is spirit. It's spirit. It's a new creature in Christ. The new birth. They make fun of it, the people do. We know what new birth is. We have experienced it. New creature in Christ Jesus. Now, if Christianity and salvation is only the invention of men, if Christianity and salvation has no power except through the resolve, determination, decision of men, if Christianity has no life except a decision, a profession, a dogma, a duty, a doctrine, then how do you explain four things? Won't you listen to this? How do you explain the difference? The difference in conditions, in lifestyle, in values, in honesty, in integrity, which prevails where the true gospel is preached, where Jesus Christ is known, where the name of Christ is loved, and in other places where He's not known, and not loved, and not preached. There's a difference. There's a whale of a difference in these countries. Now here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about countries, and I'm talking about cities and communities, and I'm talking about family circles, I'm talking about individuals. I want you to compare. Now first of all, let's compare countries. I spent 3 months in Japan when the World War II was over, and we occupied Japan. I stayed there 3 months. I saw what went on in Japan. I preached twice in 1995 in Russia when they opened the Iron Curtain. I went over and preached a week in both times. I preached in Africa. I preached in Spain. I preached in France. I preached in Mexico. I preached in Panama and the West Indies. And those countries are different. Where the gospel is not preached, where Christ is not known, conditions are different. And I'll tell you what the conditions are. Individual freedom is recognized where Christ is known, not where He's unknown. Human life is highly regarded in this country where Christ is preached, where there's a Bible in nearly every home, where there's a Bible even in the motels. But the influence of that Bible and the influence of that preaching, the influence of that person makes human life to be honored, recognized. Human rights. In those countries where I preach, they don't have human rights. Not in Russia. Not in Africa. Not in a lot of them. Also, laws governing morality. Laws governing honesty. Laws governing human righteousness and honesty and morality are recognized where Christ is preached. And governments. Governments where Christ is preached are subject to people. But in where He's not preached, the people are subjects of the government. It's just so. Compare those countries and you'll see where the Bible, France, John Calvin was there, England, Charles Spurgeon, not all those fellows, America, brought the Word of God here. We're blessed. We're slipping away, but we're blessed by the Word of God. Compare cities and communities where the Word of God is loved and respected and preached and where Christ is known. I grew up 80 years ago. I was born and raised in a little town in Alabama. And this is just 80 years ago. Just like this town here. People walked the streets at night without fear. There were no gangs threatening people's lives. Children walked to school. I walked a mile to school and back home again. And I didn't have a bodyguard. Nobody bothered children. Not in that town. Bible. Word of God. People left home without setting an alarm or even locking the doors. That's right. Not now. People also in places of authority were honest. That's right. People in authority, like schools and churches and the sheriff's departments, they were men of honesty and integrity where the gospel is believed and loved. People in authority were honest and true. Homosexual attitude, we didn't even know about those things. We didn't know about those things. Not at all. Abortion? Child abuse? Those things didn't go on in those little towns where the gospel's preached. We had a drugstore in that little town. I forget the man's name that ran it. But I remember that he used to take his papers and put them outside on the table. Out there on the sidewalk, put all of his newspapers out on the morning paper. And he had a sign there, and this is what the sign said: drop in a dime or make your own change. He told my dad when I'm, he said, I've never lost a penny, a nickel. Why is that? It's right here. People love the Word. People preach the Word. In those days. Now compare countries, compare cities, towns, and compare families. Families where God is love, where the gospel is love, where they meet together on the Lord's Day and worship God. They're different. What made the difference? Christ, His Word, His gospel. That's what makes it different. There are three essentials, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And our Bill of Rights and Constitution suggests that. But the Lord Jesus guarantees it. He guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to all who know Him, all who love Him, all who trust Him. I don't want to labor this point, but I tell you, family worship, families that know God, knows the gospel, love each other. They love each other. That's right. And you have dozens of them right here. What's made the difference? Only, is it Christ, the Bible, the Word of God? That's what made the difference. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And they do. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband in the Lord. And they do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And they do. Because of this gospel, our Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I see these little girls and boys coming up the steps. They're so happy to be here with you all. You're so happy. It's a family. The family. Makes a difference. Those three things. Christ, the Word of God, and the new birth. The new birth. Old John Newton said one time, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I expect to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Why? Born again. Now let's consider this. Countries, communities, families, individuals. Any man, woman, or young person who has heard this gospel, he's heard it not just here, but here. He's heard this gospel. Everyone that's been quickened by the Spirit of God, You have it quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Every person who has been chosen of God, called by the Spirit, believed on Christ, received Him, you'll find that person to be a new creature. Born again. That's just so. It's just so. It ain't deep. It's just so. Old things have passed away, and all things are become new. It's called the new birth. Back long time ago, 40 years ago now, Paul and I went to Mexico. First time, 1970. You and I went to Mexico to visit the missionary. We had to have three things to get in. We didn't have passports. Paul and I didn't own a passport. But we had to have a birth certificate. You had to prove you were born. And that's what God's done for us. We got a birth certificate. We're born again. That's right. We're children of God. We're new creatures in Christ. Secondly, Paul, you remember we had to have a visa. They wrote us out a permit. A visa that let us abide in their country. And we have a righteousness. We're regenerated. We have a righteousness that allows us to walk with God, to walk with His people. But thirdly, when we walk through the gates, we had to go single file, and there was a desk there and a man, big ugly man, but I don't know, and he said, "What's your name?" We gave him our visa, you know. He started thumbing through a book. What was he looking for? He was looking to see if we had a record. You remember that? He looked to see if we had a record. If we had a charge against us in another country, we couldn't come in. Had to go back on the plane. But my name wasn't there. That's right. I got no record. I'm regenerated, born again. I have a visa of righteousness. Christ Jesus the Lord gave it to me. And I have no record. No criminal record. They looked, but they couldn't find my name. And they're not going to find your name either. No God? Well, they say that. No problem? Oh, yeah. They got a problem. Three big ones. Who is Christ? This book. And that new birth. Explain that new birth. Explain that new birth. Only one way. You can see it. You can hear it in those that have it. Sure do. The Lord, the pastor asked me to have you stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful. You've given to us life, freedom, liberty, and the blessed pursuit of happiness in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful. We thank you for your word that we've been taught and we love and we love to preach. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you for our wives and husbands and children. And thank you for the family we have here in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've made us new creatures in Christ. And our prayer is, Lord, all that we are, our sin, our guilt, our death in sin was all our own. Now, all that we are, we owe to Thee, our gracious Lord, alone. And all that we are, even here on earth, and all that we hope to be, when our Lord Jesus comes and glory dawns, we owe it, Lord, our dear Lord, we owe it to Thee. And in Thy name we give thanks. Amen.